Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. 48 hours later, the pain is still real and raw. Bears season is over, and now the talk about their future begins. Will the Bears be able to win 12 games again? Will Vic Fangio be back? And if he goes, will the defense suffer? Plus, Trey Burton opens up about his last-minute groin injury, as well as his history dealing with anxiety. White Sox have signed Manny Machado's best friend. John Jay is coming to the White Sox. The Sox have Manny's friend and his brother-in-law. Will Machado himself be next? Our Chuck Garfine, drops by to discuss what other relative the White Sox can sign. Man, the Tide got steamrolled. Trevor Lawrence and his long, flowing, phenomenal blonde locks lead Clemson to an unthinkable evisceration of Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide. So is there a new dynasty in college football? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Hope you had a really good day. Panel for today's show. He is the superstar host of The Rush. He hosted our Bears playoff coverage, NBC Sports Chicago's own, the one and only Luke Stuckmeyer, and from NBCSportsChicago.com, all over our Bears beat as well, a man who suddenly has a whole lot of free time on his hands. He is J.J. Stankiewicz. All right. What might have been, Cody Parkey misses a field goal, and the Bears' season is over. Now they're left to look toward 2019 and figure out, can they be that good? JJ, can they be that good again?
They can if Mitch Trubisky takes the next step in his development, because the defense, look, even if Vic Fangio comes back, the defense will regress. I don't think they're going to, even if they're still the number one defense in the NFL, the gap between them and the number 10 defense was immense. It was incredible. And no team has ever had 35 or more takeaways in the last 10 years, 35 or more takeaways in consecutive years. The only team to have 30 or more in consecutive years was the 13-14 Buffalo Bills. That is a really hard thing to replicate year to year, as well as injury luck. I mean, look, the Bears lost Bryce Callahan to IR. They lost Sam Acho to IR on defense. That was it. Prince Mukamara, Khalil Mack, and Eddie Jackson missed a total of 5 games, and that was it. There are going to be injuries, and the Bears can do whatever they can to prevent them. You know, credit Andre Tucker, credit Jen Gibson, credit Matt Nagy, but it's going to be really hard for everything to come together the way it did this year on defense.
I just want to point out that the $5 that I paid Tom Cooper to write superstar before my name so that you would read it was worth every penny, first of all. So that was very, very nice. The thing that I'm excited about for the Bears. I'm Ron Burgundy. No, I'm excited. Yesterday, I was depressed about the Bears. I moped around here a little bit. It was just kind of like, how did they lose to the Eagles on a Cody Park? Even though we all knew, potentially, that's how the season was going to eventually end. But now I look back and I think about Trubisky on the final drive. Mm-hmm. I think about the 3 throws that got him before the Allen Robinson touchdown. We were like, okay, that was impressive. And then he takes him again down the field one more time in what should have been the game-winning drive. I didn't know he could do that.
That throw right here to Allen Robinson was sensational.
Might be the best throw I made all year.
But this season was supposed to be not about winning a Super Bowl when it started, at least not for the fans, right?
Correct.
We were all sitting around thinking this season is about one thing, Mitch's development. Mm-hmm. We want to know, is he the guy? We know for sure he is not a bust. I believe, not a bust. And that second half, when he made those 3 passes and drove him the second time down the field in what should have been the game-winning drive, that's the first time that I really thought, other than like a few times during the season, the Buccaneers, but the first time I was really like, pressure was on, and he showed me he
might
can be
elite. Something here.
Yeah.
I had a really good conversation with Allen Robinson in the locker room on Monday. He stood at his locker for 20 minutes talking to media, and it was very much he had digested the loss. It still stung, but he kept talking about the future and what the Bears would have to do, being 2 times better in OTAs and all that. But you get him talking about that last drive and that throw that Mitch made that we just showed on there, and he said that is what we know Mitch can do, and now we're starting to see it. We're starting to see, it wasn't just that. It was the Mitch putting together the like football 101 aspects of this offense that earlier in the year they were not getting. What they were doing in practice was not translating to the field on a consistent basis, and now you're starting to see that. And yeah, it was sloppy in the first half against the Eagles, but what Robinson was saying is that the knowledge that this offense has going into this OTAs training camp year two is so much greater than it was a year ago, and that I think is the biggest factor as to why the offense will improve.
Can they stay healthy like this?
Probably not. Probably not, but you hope that the roster's just as good, and you hope that your guys are better. You hope Trubisky's better than
right.
he was this season. I mean, you could start to see throughout the year more and more he'd make at least the first, second, maybe sometimes third progression, and you'd see that starting to happen for him. That couldn't happen when he was a rookie. You know,
no
it just
shot. It didn't even happen early in the year.
He had no weapons.
He had nobody to throw to, and he didn't know what he was doing out there. He hadn't played enough football. You're starting to see when he plays more football why they drafted
him.
Got
a chance.
A good quarterback can paper over injuries. If Mitch Trubisky takes that next step, the Bears could lose someone key on their defense. They could lose someone key on their offense. But if Trubisky makes everyone better on that offense, they can overcome it, and they can overcome injury luck.
All right, let's talk about Vic Fangio. He interviewed with the Denver Broncos, and now Mike Kliss, who's one of the Bronco writers in Denver, says it's down to Fangio and Mike Munchak. And one report says they're leaning Fangio's direction. How devastating is that, Luke, to this team?
I don't think it's as bad as it would have been a year ago or 2 years ago, right? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Now you look at it, last year it would have been really devastating because you didn't know what you had in Matt Nagy. And he's a first-year coach coming in. To have the defense also in total turmoil with a new coach would have been really tough. Now you've added Khalil Mack. You've gone from top 10 defense to
number one,
the defense. And if Fangio leaves, I feel better about, A, the place they're in with their head coach, and B, it's easier to fill it, in my opinion, because if you're a fired coach with a background, head coach with a background in defense, what a great way to rebuild your resume.
Hey, if Vic Fangio leaves, will the Bears defense be better or worse next season? That is our Ink and Law Sports Talk.
I literally don't think they can be better. I don't think they can be better.
NBCSportsChicago.com, by the way.
Look at the
flash vote.
Look at the Jaguars. They were the number one defense in the NFL in 2017. They slipped to about fifth or sixth. They were still really good. And their offense is a different story that's a total disaster.
They got a bad quarterback.
Right, and an unimaginative head coach and an even more unimaginative front office with those dopes trading for Carlos Hyde and drafting Leonard Fournette. Anyways, this is a situation where defense is really hard to be consistent year to year when you're that good. The Bears could allow, instead of 17 points, 20 points. They could, instead of having 36 takeaways, they could have 28. But those will have an impact, and if you're not getting the plays that the Bears got, they won't go 12-4. Their defense won't be better unless Mitch Trubisky takes that next step. I will say, the next defensive coordinator has so much talent to work with.
That's true.
There is so much young talent on that defense that I think they'll be okay whether or not it's Vic coming back.
You know what, Cap? The thing that's just as tough to avoid, like the injuries, we're saying, like, you know, they're not going to be as healthy, it's the turnovers. They led the NFL in takeaways, correct?
Yep.
So it's like repeating. Some of that is good fortune, and some of that is created by the pressure that they put on the quarterback. But recreating that many takeaways won't be easy.
Especially
so that's why
touchdowns.
You need Trubisky.
Right.
Right. And that's why you need Trubisky to be, you know, even better, take the next step, the offense to be clicking on more cylinders.
What would
next
you
year.
Guys say is the number one thing they've got to fix or improve besides kicker?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was an easy answer for all of Chicago.
Quarterback. That's it. That's the number one
thing. No, I'm talking
about
additions.
Oh, additions?
Oh, additions.
I think they need to find a running back who fits the system a little bit better, and they need to find solutions. It's not just Jordan Howard. They need to find overall solutions in the run game. One of the things I was the most disappointed about on Sunday is that Jordan Howard he was averaging about 4.5 yards per carry in December. It looked like they had found something with the run game, with the schemes, with Trubisky going more under center, and 10 carries for 35 yards. And that they just have to find a solution there that will allow them. I don't care about balance as much, because the Chiefs in 2017, they were like 59-41 run-pass-run balance. But it's about being effective when you run the ball, and the Bears are just not consistently effective running the ball.
Don't you want to find that running back that can do everything, right? I mean, right now, you kind of know what's going to happen when the guy's going. Even though Jordan Howard was better at catching the ball out of backfield. You want Alvin Kamara. You want the guy that they don't – I don't think they have it yet. They have Tariq Cohen, who is great and explosive.
Not that guy.
But he's not
you
Alvin Kamara.
You want a Kareem Hunt that doesn't get in trouble.
You want to find that guy somewhere in the draft. Later in the draft, or somehow you want to find that guy.
They have their first picks in the third round. They have a bunch of other picks throughout, you know, mid rounds. That's where you find those guys. Unless you're drafting Saquon Barkley, that's where you find those guys. You can identify and scout, because the value of a running back is very much diminished. So you can find that diamond in the rough, and it could be in the fifth round. They could get the guy who fits Nagy's system, and it works out great.
What about tight end? I know Trey Burton was really good, and then I heard this stuff on the radio today, which also was very, very good, and I know we're going to talk about that in a bit. But what about another tight end? Have you seen enough of Shaheen where you're like,
I don't think you can.
He's not Gronk.
We don't need to hear that. I don't think you cut bait on Shaheen or bring in someone to replace him, because, look, while he wasn't super impressive this year, he missed the first half of the season. This season was always going to be a wash for him as soon as he got put on IR.
All right, let's talk about Trey Burton. Bears tight end missed the game on Sunday when he said his groin locked up on him after practice on Friday. It worsened throughout Friday night, and he said despite what they tried to do with the trainers, he could not play on Sunday when they had to turn in the inactives. He joined me and Pat Boyle on the radio today on ESPN 1000, and we had an extensive discussion about his anxiety and what he was dealing with off the field, even going back to his days at the University of Florida. Take a listen to Trey Burton earlier today on the radio.
No, it definitely was different. I mean, I was a lot more excited. You know, normally when you're in those situations, you don't want to do something, and you want to stay away from it. You don't want to put yourself through that. But this was completely different for me. I was really excited to go against my former teammates, to play some of the dudes I've been practicing against, you know, for 4 years. Like, I was definitely in a great spot mentally, so I don't think it had anything, you know, to do with that. It just depends, man. Like, certain things give certain people anxiety. So, for example, last week, I was more excited, you know, about playing. I was in for the Super Bowl. I was more excited about playing in the Super Bowl. I wasn't anxious. You know, there's a difference, you know, between that. And but certain things affect certain people in different ways. And so for me, it was more excitement, you know, than anxiety.
So he said it was definitely physical. I think it's courageous for him to admit that, you know, this big, tough football player deals with anxiety. I think there's a lot of people that weighed in on social media that said, oh, my God, I deal with the same thing. I can't believe this guy had the guts to come out and talk about it.
The other reason it's gutsy is because he also knows that it's going to open up people to think that he missed the game dealing with anxiety, which he just told us is not the case.
Right.
But you know that some people are going to hear that and say, huh, that was a big stage. Maybe he was anxious. I wonder how much
anxiety. Yet he played in the Super Bowl.
How much anxiety did he have when he won the Super Bowl?
I asked him that, and he said, I had none. He said, I was so excited to play in that game. He goes, the anxiety reveals itself in strange ways.
Cap, I was kind of disappointed by the way this whole thing was covered, because mental health is a really serious issue in this country with people, and to just kind of wantonly speculate about it, because he actually did have the courage to speak up and talk about his mental health and his anxiety issues with the Oompa Loompa play. And then to say, well, he was anxious about that, so maybe he was anxious about this. I think more people need to be honest about their anxiety. And when you have someone who is honest about his own anxiety, this big football player, you know, supposed to be a tough guy and all that, and he is honest about it, and then people use that to speculate against him, that, look, we don't have any reason to believe that that was the case. And unless someone has concrete evidence on it, which has not surfaced yet, I don't know, Cap. I was just kind of disappointed in that.
I don't disagree.
I thought it was the interview was amazing. And he said he was going to continue the conversations with his wife this offseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something he deals with every day.
Every day. All right, the White Sox have not signed Manny Machado, but they're getting close. They have his brother-in-law. Now they sign one of his best friends. His hairstylist is flying to Chicago tomorrow to sign a deal. Will Rick Hahn keep signing friends and family members? Will he eventually get Manny himself? Chuck Garfine, not related to Manny Machado, is here to discuss that next on STL.
So- So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
John Jay, the former Cubs outfielder, former Cardinal, is now a member of the Chicago White Sox. Why? Well, he's a pretty good baseball player, but he's also best friends with Manny Machado. After Machado's brother-in-law, Yonder Alonso, came to the Sox, now John Jay is there. Can they get their friend to sign in Chicago on the south side of our great city? Chuck Garfine, Leon Rogers now join the panel. All right, our Chuck. Is this because they had to have this left-handed outfielder, or we're trying to make Manny as comfortable as possible?
This whole offseason was centered around signing John Jay. They got their man!
That's it.
We're done! No. The way I look at it is this way. You want the whole picture? The whole picture started with Harper and Machado. I think Reinsdorf and them don't want to get into a bidding war for Harper with Scott Boras, so they are focusing most of their attention, if not all their attention, on getting Manny Machado. And I think his choice would be to go to the Yankees. Mm. You can't always get what you want. Mm. Sometimes you get what you need. Is that the wrong
song? Pretty much how you put it.
Who needs Manny Machado? The Phillies and the White Sox. So I think it's really going to come down to those two teams. Now, if Manny Machado wants to play for under $200 million, for this contract, I think that's really what the Yankees are willing to do for Machado. They don't need him like the White Sox and the Phillies do. I think it's coming down to those two teams. If it's close with these two friends of his, Alonso and Jay, that could be a deal breaker because Machado wants to feel comfortable in this clubhouse. He may not want to be like the man in a clubhouse where he doesn't really know anybody. He knows Wellington Castillo, that helps. So having this comfort level might make it easier for him to say, yes, I will go to the south side, play for the White Sox. The Phillies might offer more money, but if it's not substantially more, I think the White Sox have a great shot. I just said it. To get Manny Machado.
So you're saying money matters, Chuck.
It does matter.
Oh, okay.
It does, but it may not. I mean, what I'm trying to say is my feeling is the only way the White Sox lose to the Phillies is if the Phillies offer a lot more money than the
right.
White Sox.
Go ahead.
Is there, though, pressure from the union because there have been like 8 free agents who have signed and the union needs a win? I mean, they need a big contract and they need one to set the bar. Is there pressure to just take the biggest contract?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can't speak to the union. I haven't really talked to the union people about this one. I think Harper, in the end, will get the contract he wants. Mm-hmm. Machado may not. Also, we in the media and everyone speculated at the top of the season or the start of the offseason that it was going to be a $300 million contract for Machado. Well, that's 10 years, 300. This might be a $700, $225 million contract
Seven
for Machado.
Years.
7 years, yes.
What I guess the question I would like to ask is, like, what is the contingency plan if they get neither? Like, what if they do all this to get Manny Machado, they don't get him? What if they don't get Bryce Harper? Will the White Sox be scrambling? Does this put
no.
them in a bad
what
state?
What they'll be doing is focusing on this season upcoming, but more of what I'm talking about is they'll try again next offseason for the free agents next year and that year.
This there's isn't Arenado, there's Chris Sale.
So like they wouldn't go for A.J. Pollock is what you're saying.
It doesn't feel right. The only way I could see them going for A.J. Pollock is if his market, and it could happen, crashes, mm-hmm. plummets because of his injury history, and all he can get is a 1 or 2 year deal. Mm-hmm. That would fit because Luis Robert is probably 2 years away. That would fit, but if Pollock wants a 4 or 5 year deal like Lorenzo Cain, he does not fit with the White Sox. So my point is, if they don't get Harper and Machado, it would be nice to have one of them, but this does not ruin their plan.
Okay.
They're just like, okay, we're going to take some swings. We're going to take some free agent swings this offseason for Harper and Machado, the two biggest tickets in this free agent game. And if they don't get either of these two guys, okay, next year let's try again. Year after that, try again.
So I wonder if the White Sox really needed these two guys, Alonso mm-hmm. and Jay, and they thought, well, they fit our team. And a bonus, they're also really helpful in drawing in Manny Machado. I wonder if they contacted the Cubs about Albert Almora Jr., who is like Machado's childhood bestie, right? Did they go that far?
He's closer to Manny than either of these guys.
Well, I've heard Alonso and him are really tight now, too, because they're related. They live three blocks from each other, but I mean...
Now they could all live in the same neighborhood.
So you're
they
saying, you're saying the White Sox should now acquire Almora Jr.?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm curious.
I would say
I'm
a fair deal
is Eloy
Jimenez for Almora.
No, you already...
Now, that's a, that is that's
I think you already learned your lesson on that one. You can't have him back.
This sounds like a reality show, like Real Housewives of White Sox.
We'll throw in Quintana.
I don't think so.
The Cubs are poised to fly the W this October, and NBC Sports Chicago has the best postseason coverage in the city. Before and after every playoff game, watch Cubs pre- and postgame live to follow the run for the ring.
All right, Mark Schanowski.
Yeah.
Bulls pre- and post host. You've done play-by-play. That's got to pump you full of confidence when he says, I don't think
we're 16th in defense.
16th in defense.
Casey, to refresh your course, there are 30 teams in the NBA, so that puts you right smack dab in the middle. You know, they were like 7th until what happened over the weekend. Overtime loss to Indiana gave up a lot of points to both Orlando and the Brooklyn Nets. So they have made improvements on the defensive end. They're walking the ball up the court, playing at a very slow pace, the 30th last in the league in pace. And right now it's a style of play that probably isn't that attractive to free agent players. Most NBA guys like to run up and down the court. They like to shoot threes. They like to play in an up-tempo kind of style. So I think over the course of the last 42 games, we're going to see him ease the restrictions on running the fast break. I think we're going to see him play at a faster pace. I think we'll see better chemistry like we saw in the Pacers game with Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and Chris Dunn. They work well together.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why doesn't he let the dogs run. Let them get out.
Yeah.
Let LaVine be excited. Give us something. If we're not going to win a lot of games, let's get some highlights, some oohs and ahs, you know, when I'm taking my lady out. But I really do believe, like, just let the guys run. And whatever happens, happens, because we're not winning anything this year.
Of course, so they're just there to entertain you and your lady.
That's
the most important thing.
For the money you pay to go to the Bulls game? Yeah. Absolutely. I would like to be entertained.
You know, one of the things they're trying to do is they're trying to change the culture. The feeling was from the front office that there was not enough accountability with the players when they were making mistakes, repeating the same mistakes, not working hard enough in practice, and he wanted a tougher-minded team, John Paxson, that is. So I think right from the jump, Jim Boylan came in, took kind of like the drill sergeant approach. It's going to be my way or the highway. And I think as we've seen over time, he's kind of eased back. The practices haven't been as long. There have been more days off. He's canceled a couple of shoot-arounds. So I think they're kind of getting a meeting of the minds between the coaching staff and the players. And I think it's going to get better
we'll
as the season.
We'll come some of the way you need us.
Has the narrative already been set? I mean, I'm sure in NBA circles, people who are more plugged into it know that that's what's happening. But if you're talking about Anthony Davis, he's probably not paying a whole lot of attention to the ins and outs of the Bulls on a daily basis.
That's never going to happen.
No.
But okay. But, I mean, if you're trying to attract the best players in the NBA to come play for you, are they going to look at this and they're going to say, even if Jim Boylan is gone, are they going to say, well, management still hired him, and I this is what I know about it, and it's not super positive, so that scares me off.
Well, the biggest problem is going to be that most free agents are looking for the chance to make either the most possible money or to win. And right now, the situation in Chicago, it's year two of a rebuild. So if you're going trying to attract a Kevin Durant or a Kawhi Leonard or Kyrie Irving, you're going to say, you have to have faith in us. We've got a good group of young players, and in a year or two, if you come on board, we could have a chance to contend in the East. And that's a tough sales pitch in this day and age.
So Pax and Boylan want tougher. And I saw on our My Teams app, by the way, which is terrific.
You should download it.
That Zach LaVine has agreed with Coach Boylan and says, we do need to be tougher. Are the players buying into the fact that they need to be more physical and more aggressive?
Accountable.
Instead of shooting a three, going to the bucket a little more.
I'll tell you how much they're buying in. During an interview today, Bobby Portis said, we got to show that road dog mentality as we go out on this Western trip. That's right out of the coach's mouth. So they're listening to exactly what he said. You know, Jim Boylan is not the interim head coach. John Paxson said the expectation is he will be back next season as the full-time head coach. So the players have no choice but to accept what the coach is selling. Right now, he wants it to be a slower-paced, defensive-oriented approach. And for a guy like LaVine, who was in the top 10 in NBA in scoring early in the season, this has got to be frustrating at times. They only shot 17 three-pointers on Sunday when Brooklyn shot 46. So they're not really playing the kind of style that's been popular in today's NBA. I think it is going to change a little bit over time, but they are one of the youngest teams in the NBA. As Leon mentioned, they should be a team that could ideally push the tempo and get some easy baskets
in transition. If I told you that it worked out and that, oh my goodness, Mark Schanowski is hosting the night of the lottery and the Bulls won it, does a guy like Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett drop down to the Bulls roster all of a sudden take them from here to, I'm not saying they're Golden State, but they are a really, really competitive
man.
Well, I know Leon and his lady would love that 360 dunk.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that is impressive. I mean, we've seen this kid on YouTube since he was a high school sophomore. So this is nothing new. And the guy's a spectacular player. He'll be great for any team's marketing.
Got a motor.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing I'm concerned about is in the Bulls situation, they need a small forward. He's 6'7", 285. Can he defend on the perimeter? His three-point shot is really stiff and mechanical right now. I think there's going to have to be some development. But because he's a freakish talent like that, whoever wins the lottery, they're going to take him number one and try to figure out the questions.
Because he's a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, he sure is.
So if you got a guy like that, do free agents, I get this on Twitter all the time, do free agents go, I want to play with that guy?
No.
Or no?
Not for a rookie. You know, I just don't think, unless you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar coming into the league, I don't think that free agents are going to say, well, I want to go with this 19-year-old kid. You know, they're looking at what they can accomplish in that city when they arrive. And I just think that, you know, a guy like Kevin Durant, a guy like Kawhi Leonard, they're thinking about winning multiple championships.
I'd take them.
Yeah.
Yes. Knowing that we're not going to get one of those guys, like you just said, is there a veteran out there that could come to the team that – kind of like galvanizes everybody and still not ruffle anybody's feathers? Like so a guy like Conley, even though I know he's not a free agent, but that type of player, that not a superstar, but somebody that could come in and still be a positive veteran for the team.
Well, you know, almost half the league is going to be a free agent this year.
Okay.
Some of those bad contracts that were signed when the new TV money came in 2016, some of those are expiring. Just about two-thirds of the league is going to have enough cap space to offer a max deal, so there's going to be crazy bidding on free agents. One guy that I think Bulls fans should keep an eye on is Tobias Harris, who's playing in the near all-star level with the L.A. Clippers. They're a team that wants to be in the hunt for guys like Durant and Leonard. They have a coach in Doc Rivers who's popular with players around the league. So if they decide to go big game hunting, they may have to renounce their rights to Tobias Harris in order to chase these premier all-star. So I think he'd be a really good fit as a starting small forward with this Bulls group, and I think he's young enough that he fits their timeline.
But that still puts you right back in the same problem. If you're not one of the guys going big game hunting, you're potentially in that middle ground
right.
where you're
Again,
not
just good
right.
enough
and
to not
so you,
be good.
Yeah, you'd
right.
probably rather be at the bottom end than or the top end. You don't want to be in that middle ground. That's the trick. Which, I mean,
yeah, you don't want to make the same mistake they made last season where you committed $20 million to Jabari Parker and then found out.
Thank goodness.
Or the year before to Dwayne Wade.
Camp that, you know, he doesn't fit with what we're trying to do. Right. So you want to get a guy that fits in. And, you know, some fans would argue, well, why don't we just wait till 2020 when Anthony Davis can become a free agent and we'll put all our eggs in that basket? Well, the problem is, you know, the business of the league keeps moving. You're going to have to extend Chris Dunn. Lowry Markin is going to be up for an extension. All of a sudden, that cap space that you're hoarding disappears. So I think either this year, this summer, or next summer will be their two opportunities to go big into free agency. Now they just have to hope that they're attractive enough to bring somebody
will
in.
Will Fred Hoiberg be more successful if he gets the Minnesota job than he was here?
I don't think there's any question about it because the roster is better. You know, he's got a legitimate star in Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, Wiggins has been a little bit of a disappointment. Well, I should say more than a little bit of a disappointment in Minnesota. They got a couple of good pieces in the trade in Covington and Dario Saric. I think that's a team that can grow, and I think the problem is in the Western Conference, you have so many good teams right now. Minnesota, even though they're a pretty good team, they're two games out of the final playoff spot in the West. I think Hoiberg with the right roster could have a lot more success, yes.
Isn't, though, Minnesota sort of a lesson in what the Bulls need to do, not from a roster standpoint, or just like a winning standpoint, as a team that maybe someone will want to go to? Because they are improving their winning games. If the Bulls are down here going for the number one lottery pick every year, is that really going to engender anyone to want to come to them? Or if they show progress and maybe they're two games out of the last spot in the playoffs in 2019, or they barely sneak in as the 8 seed, is that going to make them more attractive?
Well, my guy Luke Stuckmeyer used to do the weather in Marquette, Michigan. It gets pretty cold in the Twin Cities with all the snow on. I don't think northern most cities are going to be that much of a draw for free agency. You know, Tibbs did a good job in terms of bringing back some of the old Bulls with Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose, and that worked out for him. But the fact that he brought in Jimmy, gave up three big pieces for him, and then Jimmy forced a trade.
Well, how good does that trade look now?
Well, it looks fantastic, but Jimmy has kind of showed his true colors everywhere he's gone. I mean, the report last week.
I was calling up Brett Brown.
Feuding with Brett Brown about his role in the offense. you have to wonder if you're Elton Brand, who's the new general manager in Philadelphia, is he going to give Jimmy Butler 5 years of a max deal knowing that he's a potential franchise cancer? Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, and a new NBA Buzz column on NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah, I took a look at the MVP race. We're right at the halfway point of the NBA season. Right now, I think it's a two-man competition between Giannis Antetokounmpo and James Harden. 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't have said James Harden was even in the picture, but what he's done over the last 10, 11 games, scoring at least 35 points in 10 straight games, Houston has won 12 of their last 14 games with Chris Paul out with a hamstring injury. They're all the way up to fourth in the West, and it's all because of James Harden.
I have a friend who just was in Vegas and bet the Rockets to win the title.
Well, no, that I wouldn't go that far.
I'd do it with his money, though.
No question.
Well, I like the fact that he's changed the traveling rule.
My pleasure.
All right, Dabo pulled off the impossible. He blew out a Nick Saban coached team. Clemson takes the Tide behind the woodshed, wins its second national title in 3 seasons. Are they college football's newest dynasty? Meanwhile, Trevor Lawrence is the greatest quarterback on the planet. Will NFL teams start to tank for the 2021 draft?
Long way off. Yep.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.